And we are just going to continue on with the simplicity of the simple life. And as we're looking at focusing in on verse 14 this morning, I want you to just understand that the title for today is just out of my heart, but I think that many of you will be able to resonate with the focus of our study. This is really simple, but it's not natural. Simple, but not natural. So let's just jump in to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read verse 9 through 13. And then focus on verse 14. Paul says to the Romans, let love be without hypocrisy. Just let it be sincere. Let's abhor what is evil and let's cling to what is good. Let's continue to learn to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And in honor, actually giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. One verse, but some tumultuous consideration. Last week, Doug Logan, he did an amazing job challenging us about biblical hospitality, about making room for strangers, opening ourselves up. Not just making room for our best friends, our comfort friends and all that kind of stuff, but literally opening ourselves up and being available to strangers, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to love on people. And so as we've been talking about all of these things, what's really cool is I love to hear, and I was encouraging Doug, talking to Doug on the phone, because he comes in here, and I just want to tell you that he was blown away by our church family. He loved being here with you guys, because we just got to be brothers and sisters in Christ. So I was just trying to encourage him. I said, hey, Doug, let me just tell you that, and I wanted him to hear a couple of stories about how you responded to the Spirit of God speaking through him. And I said, listen, what we're doing with the coffee outreach. You know, there was, and I understand a lot of people are like, why are you guys doing that? What's up? And we had somebody stand before Chris and I this week and said that they were questioning why we were doing the coffee outreach at Good Hope and what was going on. And this person looked at us and said, after being presented with biblical hospitality about making room for strangers, they just looked at us and said, I get it now. I get it. Y'all are making space for people to come in and to just experience the love of Christ. And so one of the things that I just want to remind you, as we dive into these verses this morning, I need to give you a disclaimer. Here's a disclaimer for this morning. I'm going to churn the water up this morning. But understand, the water is being churned up within me for a lot of years now. And only you can, please hear me. This is an important disclaimer. Only you can know when and how to apply this directive that's from our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. So if you're sitting here this morning, you're expecting to get some like, oh, you're going to be disappointed. Because all I'm doing is like, I want to drop the outboard and go, I'm going to turn the water. And you're going to have to figure out how the Holy Spirit wants to use that for you. The word bless in the Greek in this passage, I need you to hang with me. Let's not play grinny church meeting. Let's just be raw and real this morning about the challenge of what we're looking at. The word bless here in the original language in this passage means to invoke blessings upon one. To invoke blessings. The word persecute here in the Greek in this passage means in any way by whatever to harass, to trouble, or annoy, or disturb with hostile intent. J.B. Phillips' New Testament says it this way. And as for those who try to make your life a misery, bless them. Don't curse, bless. Eugene Peterson says it this way. Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Now, none of us know what that means. And that's what I love about this. Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. I need to ask you a question. How deep does your love grow? I didn't say how deep does your love go. I'm asking you, how deep does your love grow? What's your root system for love? This morning, we're not talking about religiosity, but rather a growing, deepening, abiding relationship with the God of heaven. We cannot walk in the simplicity of these simple things if we don't have a genuine faith relationship with Jesus through his grace and forgiveness. I'm going to ask you again, how deep does your love grow? I'm not going to stand up here with some pious platitudes and talk big picture stuff and act like this is a struggle for me as I've been praying. I'm asking God to help me. Help me to be able to present your challenge, your directive, your truth in an authentic way, because this is hard for me. This is not in Tim Duggan's DNA. This is tough stuff. And if you look at this progression of what were these simple directives and the things that were, it's all supposed to be out of relationship with him. This verse challenges our natural response to personal attacks. How do you do when somebody attacks you personally? This is hard stuff. We cannot take up our cross and follow Jesus in our own strength. A lot of traditions, a lot of people in this county, and I hear this all the time, oh, he's a good person. The things that we're talking about this morning, this is not about us pulling ourselves up by our bootstrap and trying to be good. We don't, most of us, we can't muster up the strength to live out this directive because it goes against what we naturally want to do. And some of you already know me. I'm just being honest with you. This is not part of, man, you wrong me, you do something. Not only do I want to get even and get revenge, I want to crush you worse than what you thought you were going to crush me. That's my natural DNA. Some of you are going, oh, Pastor Tim, I don't know if you should be in your position. I know, I think the same thing. I get it. This is not easy stuff for me. Jesus must be our Savior and he must be our Lord. We must learn to follow his example of love, forgiveness, and mercy. Love, forgiveness, and mercy, but not just toward the people that we handpick. This is a difference between human religion and following in the way, learning to be his apprentice. When we are weak, he is strong on our behalf. Especially, think about this. Some of you have said, oh yeah, when I'm weak, he is strong. But especially when we allow him. Because we can say that, We can let that kind of roll off our tongue, but we have to allow him at very pivotal moments to be strong on our behalf by choice. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 11 in the NIV. Listen to the power of how the Holy Spirit flowed through Paul for these Corinthians. But he said to me, Jesus said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." Paul's simple challenge to these Roman Christians is a reflection of the upside-down kingdom. This upside-down kingdom teaching that Jesus delivered to a huge group of people gathered on a mountainside, as recorded in Matthew chapter 4, 5, verse 44. In the NLT, it records it like this. Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." And Peter, so you think about it, this is the words of Jesus. He was handed out. Thousands of people gathered around, Sermon on the Mount. And then here's Paul proclaiming these same things. Paul had an incredible encounter with Jesus. And then here we have Peter, hard-headed, stubborn, manly Peter, the fighter Peter. Peter. He proclaims the teachings of Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the NLT. Peter says, "Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing." What? I'm going to listen to Peter. Peter was a hothead, loudmouth, strong, hardworking dude. I think he could take care of himself. And he said, "Instead, pay them back with a blessing." That is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you his blessing. You've already heard me. I'm just going to be really honest with you. This teaching is not in my DNA. And humanly, I don't like this. This churns up the water in my mind and soul. What I've realized is that these types of simple directives force me to evaluate my heart and my motives for why I do what I do. Because see, some of these things, you know, like honestly, we may be outside of our comfort zone, but some of the other things he's been talking about up to this point, you're like, yeah, this is cool. I can do that. I can press into being a little bit more hospitable. I'm gonna do this and all that. I mean, we get to a verse like this, and it's like a gut punch. But what it does is what I'm finding out is that passages like this press me to evaluate my heart and my motives. Jesus' teaching, let me go back to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount was all about addressing empty religiosity and evaluating why do we do what we do. And all about Jesus' teaching. He's like, you got this, you got all these laws, you got all these rules. Let's talk about your heart. Because you've got all these outward adornments. You've got all this stuff going on and everybody thinks you're cool. Let's talk about why you do what you do. And then most of the time, all the religious people are like, I'm getting out of here. Think about it. We have to take a painfully honest, deep dive into our hearts and our minds and our souls. The difficulty is, how does this flesh out in our daily lives Because listen to me, this morning, there's a friction point that's being created. There's a friction point inside of me, and there's a friction point that's been inside of me based on this teaching. So guys, especially some of you men here, and we're going to talk about the extremes, but men, I just want you to understand that some of you are sitting there, and already in your mind, you've got these bullet points that you're going through, and I know that you're trying to evaluate, and you're struggling because you got all these things that you're thinking, so let's just go ahead and talk about some of these things out loud and just get them out in the open. Does this teaching mean that we don't stand up for ourselves? No. Are we supposed to condone spousal abuse or sexual abuse of children based on these verses in the application? No. Does this override the way God has called a man to provide and protect? Not at all. Should we abstain from serving in the military? No. Is it wrong to own a knife, a pistol, a shotgun, or a rifle? No. Is it wrong to defend ourselves or our loved ones? No. Does this simple directive take precedent over all other teachings in the Bible? No. And this is a difficulty because especially in our current culture, and it has invaded the church, what do we do? Some of you, there are denominations that have taken this teaching, this particular teaching, and they've used it to override and make this incredible stand so that you have this extreme over here with all of these guidelines. And the reason I ask these questions is because let's just be honest. Some of you are sitting there and these things are spinning up in your head. Why don't we just be honest about it? Because there's whole groups that have made a stance that anybody that does or participates in any of these things is in sin and not walking in the way of Jesus. Then you've got this other extreme over here that makes out like everything is right. There's no rules. Everything is love and grace and anything goes. We've got these two extremes. And so the reason I say this morning that I'm churning up the water is because we're not talking about these easy extremes. And you want to know why within the religious world we go to these extremes? Some of you, you're coming out of this. I'm just going to be straight up with you. Because I get this extreme over here. It's where I come from. I didn't come from this extreme. I came from this extreme. And you know why we do that? Because we can do these extremes in our own strength. Where we're talking about this morning, I can't navigate this without faith, relationship with Jesus, and me begging the Holy Spirit to help me to know how to respond. And some of the questions I ask, you don't know where those questions came from? Not from me interviewing people on the street. These are hard questions that I have asked myself, that I've gone to the scripture and I've asked our holy God and I've asked the Spirit to reveal his plan to me through the scripture. And here's the thing. The scripture says that we're supposed to take the entire counsel of God. Some of you, maybe you've forgotten in the New Testament, Jesus said with the training exercise one time, he said, go, you don't take your bag. You don't take your sword. You don't take anything with you. Another time he said, if you don't own a sword, go get one. You remember what I'm talking about? So which one is it? Because see, in our polarizing world, you have to choose one or the other. And what if it is about being yielded to the Spirit and looking at your heart, and it's about our heart response, not just some mechanical makeup? And this is why I'm saying this morning before we get started, I'm churning up the water. If you're looking for a clear-cut answer on this from me, I don't have it because I'm with you asking God on a regular basis. God, help me. What does this look like? But we need to do the hard work of searching the scriptures to learn the whole counsel of God. I want to say this for some of you. What we're talking about this morning, this is not a position of weakness or powerlessness. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. This is not playing the victim or being a doormat. Some of you, you've been presented with a gospel where it says that the highest form of your service for God is you being a doormat. Show me that in scripture. Without taking some verses out of context. What this is an incredible extension. A credible extension of relational love. Can you consider this with me? That everything that we've been talking about and everything that we are being challenged with as a church family for this year, think of it this way, and please hear me. I'm going to say it a couple times because I want you to get this. This is the process of extending love past natural human boundaries. This is the process of extending love past natural human boundaries. Why would we be willing to do something that seems so far-fetched and unnatural? The love of a father who sent his only son to show love, forgiveness, grace, and mercy to anyone who would believe. Do we really believe anyone? As we were reminded last week, I love what Doug said. Jesus paid the full purchase price. He paid full price for broken, damaged goods. That's us. I need to throw this out because in a room this size, when we're talking about persecution, we're talking about animosity, we're talking about all these things and how we respond. I don't know who you are, but I know in a room this size, there's somebody here this morning that you have been in your past, you have been the persecutor. You have been the one on the job running your mouth, trying to stab somebody in the back, making fun of them, doing whatever it takes to try to put somebody else down because of their vibrant faith in Jesus Christ, because it so annoyed you. And maybe you're here this morning, maybe you've actually wanted to do physical harm to somebody because of the message of the gospel. And if that's true of you and you're sitting here, and you now believe in Jesus Christ, you know for a fact that the transformation in your life has been because you experienced or saw in another human being a love that went beyond the boundaries, natural boundaries. And some of you, I want to remind you, the doctrine, the Bible truth, is not how we wage war against persecution. But it's love and forgiveness and trying to be a blessing to the very person that I naturally want to get even with. This is all about experiencing the love and the forgiveness of Father God. This is the embodiment of salvation. This is all about identity for each and every one of us as sons and daughters of our King. Why would I be willing to pursue something that's way outside of my natural realm? Because my dad modeled it, and that's what he wants me to live out to other people. Because I'm part of the family. You know what he's waiting for? For me to come and say, Father, this is tough. I can't do this on my own. And he goes, it's all I wanted from you. I got you, son. Will you let me take over? This is all about incredible strength that only comes through the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? This is all relationally driven. This is all about the kingdom mission as our eyes are open, as we open up the Holy Scriptures. We study the Scriptures. We look in the Scriptures. And then our eyes are open to the big mission that we get to be a part of. This is all about the good news of the gospel that burns in our hearts through prayer. Nothing motivates and drives me to my knees and to express incredible dependence on the level of things, challenges like this in my life, where God says, I want you to love. And look at me. I was praying this morning, asking God to help me to not be a hypocrite. I'm praying for people, and I'm not going to give you their names, that I am asking for God to help me to be a blessing in their lives, even though I don't want to. Because the things that they're saying, the way that they've postured themselves, they're trying to put me down. They're trying to defame my reputation. They're making attacks against our church. And guess what? I'm not the person who defends that. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father God knows. I get what I'm talking about. This is not easy. This is not an easy directive for most of us, but we need to do the deep work of evaluation as this process purifies our faith. These deep things, when the water gets churned up, you know what it does? When it's churning, it's purifying. And it's things like this that when I do that deep dive and I evaluate myself, my faith is purified and my faith is made stronger. Faith, hope, and love are not just nice words on a wall hanging, but rather a desperate response to the hard challenges. By the strength of Christ, can we live out these challenges? Thank you, Ali. You demand. Roar. Come back. Teamwork. Let me say it this way. I just said it. Only strong, vibrant, valiant people can live out what Christ has asked us to do. I have to mention this. In America, sometimes we use the word persecution because our expectations weren't met, or somebody did something that we weren't happy with, or somebody was just having a bad day and they were mean to us and whatever. I want you to, it's less than a minute, I just want you to consider brothers and sisters around the world this morning that are experiencing real persecution. So watch this with me. Praying for one another. Praying for brothers and sisters in other parts of the world that are experiencing genuine persecution. How deep does your love grow? See, the things that we're talking about right now, not going to take place by accident. There has to be a genuine faith experience, a growing relationship, an identity change, an embracing of the mission for us to move to a different level and love outside of our natural boundaries. I'm not going to give you the answers. Can I tell you, after the first service, I was blown away at how the Holy Spirit was churning the water in so many different lives. I've already had people talking about all these different situations and circumstances where this teaching by the Holy Spirit in their lives is allowing them to address and focus on certain things that God wants to give them victory. And please understand, anything I'm saying this morning, some of you, you can bless someone else by praying on their behalf. And some of you, you need to do what the challenge is with boundaries and guardrails. Because you understand that what we are being challenged with this morning is a road that only the Holy Spirit can reveal to each and every one of us at that particular moment of the impasse to know how to be obedient and to extend the love that He wants us to extend to other people. The things that we were singing about, the things that we've been praying, the things that we're asking God to do, God has a desire to show up mightily on our behalf and blow our minds. So let's be a people that are willing to take a hard look at ourselves and press in and say, God, I need your help to know how to be a blessing to people that hate me, to be a blessing to people that want to hurt me, to be a blessing to people that say all kinds of nasty things filled with animosity, because I need your help to respond. And you know what He's waiting for? That opportunity to show Himself mighty on your behalf. Let's stand and let's continue in worship today.